Hello and welcome to today's episode of Stumbled Upon. I am your host, Kate, and I'm so glad that you are here with me today. Happy Friday, everybody. I hope that you've had a great week. And even if you have not had a great week, I hope that you have something awesome to look forward to during this weekend. So today's episode is going to be about airplanes, specifically airplane travel. I'll do a little bit of a history on the airline industry in general, but it is vast and I just did not have time to really give it a full deep dive because there's just so much information out there. So if you're interested in learning more about airplanes, of course, I will be leaving my sources in the episode notes, so you are free to look up what I was looking up. And I wanted to start by discussing what sort of sparked this topic. So for those of you that don't know, or maybe don't watch the news, there was a recent crash in Washington, D.C. that killed the passengers and crew of an American Airlines regional jet, as well as the crew of an Army Black Hawk helicopter. And those events are extremely tragic, and it started me thinking, like, oh, I wonder how frequent this sort of thing is, and like, how safe are airplanes really? And then on top of that, some friends of mine are coming to visit me this weekend, and they are flying, and one of them happens to be deathly afraid of airplanes and flying on airplanes. And so I was curious about how sort of the psychology of being afraid of airplanes works, and if it really is as big of a deal as sometimes it feels like it. And, you know, just kind of thinking, not trying to take away anything from the tragedy, because obviously it's awful when people lose their lives, especially in a way that feels so maybe unexpected and preventable. And it just makes you think or wonder, like, the media, their role in all of this. Obviously, they're there to report the news and, you know, talk about recent events and current events and all that. But it just makes me feel some kind of way, I guess. They just sensationalize so much. And so, not that it's a less bad tragedy, but just how dangerous are airplanes really? You know what I mean? Like, the news just makes me feel like they try to make you afraid of so much. And I just wonder, or I question sometimes, those feelings of fear. And so I decided to do a deep dive into airplanes and their history and their safety and all of that. So also, just as another side note, I do think, you know, in light of the recent, or sort of recent, I guess, issues around Boeing planes and, you know, all the memes that came about when that, like, window broke. I think it was a window that broke. I don't even know. I'm ignorant to the actual truth of the story because I really only saw the information about that on TikTok and Instagram. I go out of my way to not watch the news, and that is just my own personal choice. And I'm not saying that I get my news from social media. Well, I guess I am kind of saying I get my news from social media, but I do actually, like, well, if something seems kind of hinky to me or whatever, I will further research the topic or the issue or whatever. And I don't just take things at face value necessarily, but I wonder, you know, when you live in meme culture like we do, I just wonder about, it's such a fine line to take things serious, but also have that levity about it. Do you know what I mean? Again, not taking away from the tragedy of anything, but just as a millennial, I mean, we have dealt, my generation specifically, and other generations too, it's not like we are just alone in this, but in the recent past, we have just dealt with so many unprecedented times. The news likes to say unprecedented times, and it's to the point where it's a meme now, again, in our culture. And I just wonder how you cannot have a maybe darker sense of humor when it comes to this stuff, because it is just, it's like that thing where if you don't laugh, you're going to cry. I mean, it's just so much, there's just so much all the time. And it's just so negative all the time, it feels like sometimes, that if you cannot find a little kernel of humor or whatever in and around this darkness, it feels like it's too much, and it can feel overwhelming to me. I'm sure others probably feel the same way. And so just finding that maybe inappropriate humor to me helps me deal with things. So like I said, my friend who's coming to visit me is so, so very afraid of flying. And if you can't troll your friends, then who can you troll? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, again, I'm not trying to be insensitive, right? I'm not at all. Fear of flying is a very legitimate fear, and I don't particularly enjoy takeoff or landing. It's my understanding that those two times during your flight are the most dangerous. I didn't actually look that up because I don't actually really want to know the answer to that, but I don't like it. I don't like that part of flying. I will get on an airplane, and I do not have really an issue flying to where I want to go, because I would much prefer that over driving or any other form of transportation, really. But anyway, I'm getting off track already. So the point of all of this is just to learn a little something and maybe laugh in the face of fear and sort of just make something a little less scary is essentially where I'm going with all of this. So anyway, let's get into it. Airlines struggled to stay in operation in the early 1900s. They did not really have a niche quite yet, because most people preferred to travel via public transportation or their own vehicles if they had them. So the government stepped in with the post office beginning the U.S. Air Mail Service in 1918. Regular overnight air delivery began in 1924. So this really created sort of the first airline routes in the U.S. It also sort of created the market for the first airports. I hesitate with the word airport because they're not like the airports of today. So I use the term airport loosely here. And then in 1927, Charles Lindbergh became the first person to fly solo nonstop from New York to Paris. He did so in the Spirit of St. Louis. That was the name of his plane. It was a very famous flight. It is a really cool plane. If you're ever in Washington, D.C., they do have it on display, and I would recommend going and seeing it. It's pretty cool. And this sort of really skyrocketed, no pun intended, interest in flying thanks to his subsequent publicity tour demonstrating that airplane travel was safe and reliable. So at the beginning, like I said, airports, I use the term loosely, they were really just maintained fields of grass. So it was not anything like we think of today. And by 1931, there were 2,000 airports funded mostly by local governments. So as this increase in air travel and this increased interest in traveling by plane really came about, local municipalities started to put their resources into actually building these more structural things, right? So actually having like a runway that was more than just a field, and a building that was more than just a tower and, you know, some like warehouse space. It was actually like a waiting area and, you know, moving closer to what we think of as airports today. The increase in air traffic in the mid-1930s led to airport lighting, the National Aviation Weather Service, radio navigation, and air traffic control. Now, as a side note, I did sort of look at air traffic control briefly. So it was first run by individual airlines. So these were not the names of the companies then, but just to put it into today's, from today's point of view. So it would be like Spirit Airlines had their own air traffic control, and then American Airlines had their own traffic control, and then Southwest had their own air traffic control. Like, it was not a centralized sort of department like it is today. So after several accidents, the Commerce Department took over in 1936. So they are actually in charge of air traffic control over everybody, and it's not just these individual airlines doing it themselves. As a side note, only 1% of applicants will qualify for air traffic control after spending years studying it. So they go to school for this, but then they also have specialized training after school. And then you apply to become an air traffic controller, and only 1% of people will qualify. And then once you are an air traffic controller, you have to go through years of like on the job training with a seasoned air traffic control trainer, And then on top of that, you have to stay up with like continuing education because technology is changing and things are evolving. And so it's really kind of a lot. And it is, the article that I read was from somebody who used to be an air traffic controller, and they said it was not that stressful of a job. They said it was, the person who wrote the article said that it was not that stressful of a job because of the amount of training and support that they get. And so, yeah, it's an important job and they take it very seriously, but it's not like the movies depict it. The article specifically said that it's not all chaos and screaming like in the movies. It's really just more like calm, cool, collected all the time, just very chill. So I thought that was kind of interesting because I always thought that air traffic control was this big, you know, nail biting every second you're in panic mode. And that's not the case. At least according to this article, it was not the case. So anyway, in the 1940s, airports started building paved runways. And if you think about that, that's really not that long ago. So hooray for that. And then most early air travel passengers were business executives and the wealthy. So people could not afford it. A round trip ticket was half the price of buying an entire car. It was expensive. And so it really wasn't for everybody. Plus, early flights were loud, cold, and unsettling. Planes at that time were not pressurized, so they had to fly at low altitudes, which meant that wind and weather was just kind of bouncing them around. If you think about it, if you've ever flown, which I think at this point most people probably have at least been on one flight in their life, when you are, before you're getting up to that cruising altitude, you are going through sort of the clouds and that weather and that wind, and you feel the turbulence. That's why, you know, they put the fasten your seatbelt sign on during that time, because you need to be sitting down while they are climbing through this quote unquote weather. So when the U.S. entered World War II in 1941, however, casual air travel virtually ceased. The military requisitioned 200 of the 360 planes that were in existence in America, and they also took the personnel. So they were like, these are ours now, and we're taking the pilots and the crew. Thank you so much. And they used them for the war efforts, and that was sort of the end of that. Nobody really was flying commercially at that point. However, then, you know, of course, the war ended. And in 1955, for the first time, more people in the United States traveled by air than by train. Boeing built the first pressurized airliner that could cruise at 25,000 feet, or like I said, above the weather at this point in time. So that kind of brings you up to sort of modern, not really modern times in airplane or air in not. That sort of brings us more to the modern age of air travel and flight. There's a lot more. That was just sort of a glossing over of airline history, right? So I jumped around a lot and I did skip out a lot because I was researching it for hours, and it's sort of a delicate balance where you don't want to include so much information that it's overwhelming and boring, and then you also want to give enough information to where you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. So I just focused on the things that I thought were interesting. Like, it wasn't until 1940 that we had paved airways, or excuse me, was it until 1940 that we had paved runways? So I think that's interesting. I mean, 1940 was what, 80 years ago? Something like that? 80-ish years ago? I don't know why I put myself on the spot to do quick math like that. That was a choice that I made. So anyway, the other thing that I thought was really interesting regarding airline history is in regards to the civil rights movement. So airliners or aircraft themselves were not segregated, but the airports were. So very few African Americans flew in the early days. They were also not allowed to pilot the planes or work on the crew for quite some time. Local municipalities ran the airports and ruthlessly enforced segregation. So the airlines did not want to lose their majority white customer base, so they stayed out of it. They were just like, hey, the plane itself is not segregated, but whatever y'all do on the ground is y'all's business, and we're just gonna keep taking your money and keep it moving, which, you know, from like a human rights position is probably not great. It is not great. I think we see the echoes of this a lot throughout our history where, you know, corporate America doesn't care. That's really just the end of it. Corporate America does not care about you. They will pretend to care about you because they want your money, but at the end of the day, they are there to run a business. You know, maybe that's a cynical view of it, but I really just don't think that capitalism is not coming to save you. So just some food for thought as we move into this sort of new era of 2025. Anyway, so the fight for desegregation was done on a case-by-case basis. In January of 1962, the courts ordered the integration of the Montgomery, Alabama airport, and that case served as the precedent for others to follow suit. The last signs leading travelers to segregated facilities were ordered to come down at the Shreveport, Louisiana airport in July of 1963. Just for some context, this was only 62 years ago, which means that there are people alive today who remember this, and I think it's important that we all clock that. In 1963, Marion D. Green won a case to become a pilot, which opened the door for diversity in pilots and cabin crews. He was the first African-American commercial pilot. And then in 1992, the first African-American woman, Melissa Ward, was hired as a commercial pilot for United Airlines. Again, just to point this out to you, that was 33 years ago, which means I was alive when this happened. So as another side note, the first woman pilot was not until 1973. Most women up until that point, and really for the longest time, were flight attendants, and they were used as the marketing tools for the airports or the airliners. And they followed a strict guideline about appearance, and they could not get married. They had harsh age restrictions, and of course, there were gender and race restrictions as well. So for a long time, it was just white women allowed to be flight attendants. And then slowly through the civil rights movement and the women's rights movements, we get more diversity both with race and gender and sexual orientation. Moving from sort of the history of airplanes and the airlines in general and into why people are so scared of flying, I've never been afraid to fly. I don't like takeoff or landing. Like, those are the two times that kind of stress me out the most. More specifically, landing. And really, that is more of a learned behavior, I think, for me. I've had a few flights where the landings have been a little bit on the rougher side. So I think from that point forward, I just always brace for impact because I just feel afraid or nervous that we're gonna, I don't really know, like, hit the runway too hard. I'm not even really sure what the fear is. I just don't like it. But I will fly. I'm not afraid to fly. So the fear of flying is called aviophobia, and it's the most common of the irrational fears, with the estimated prevalence of 2.5% to 6.5% of Americans. The article that I read regarding the fear of flying classified it as an irrational fear, which is an intense fear of something that poses little to no real danger. And I'm sure if you are someone who has this fear, you're like, it's definitely real danger. And I get it. I totally get it. I think what they mean is that the likelihood of it being an actual thing that you need to be afraid of is small. So maybe, I don't know, less likely to happen. I don't really know. I don't really know how to parse out the difference between rational and irrational fears. I'm not a psychologist. I just play one on TV. So what's so scary? The lack of control or feeling like you're trapped. So the big thing that this article discussed was that people are afraid that the anxiety would get to them and they would have sort of like a panic attack because the thought of flying made them anxious, but then the thought of being anxious and not being able to get up and move or get up and get out of the situation made them more anxious, and then they kind of just spiraled. So that was sort of the main theme of that. And then of course, heights and crashes. Plane travel is actually very safe. So there were only 5 fatal accidents among 32.2 million flights in 2022. If you think of that in terms of odds, your odds of getting in a plane crash are extraordinarily low. The most recent in the US have been the DC American Airlines regional flight that crashed in January, January 29th. And then the next most recent would be back in 2009 in Buffalo, New York. So you can see there's quite a gap there, nearly 20 years of time between those two events. So relatively speaking, it's a safe way to travel. In 1985, there was a major accident roughly every 2 weeks. Now we go months or even years. The improvement in these numbers is due to both better onboard technology and better pilot training. So pilots are trained not just how to fly the plane, but they are also trained in things like crew management and people management and sort of understanding how to react in different situations. And so again, sort of like with the air traffic controllers really kind of being calm, cool, and collected because they can fall back on that extensive amount of training and exposure and experience. Same thing with pilots. The fact that most aviation systems are redundant means that if one fails, another will serve as a backup. So that's just another area of safety. And then there are also regular announced and unannounced safety inspections of aircraft. So they will ground a flight or they will ground a plane if anything fails these safety checks, especially before takeoff. So in conclusion, I think that the fear of flying, or at least anxiety around flying, is normal, and there are healthy ways to deal with it. If you do have sort of an intense fear around flying or airplanes, there are ways to help that that are not like self-medication style ways, which you can do if you want to, for sure. It's just not really, if you do self-medicate, it will help the problem in the now, but it does not help the problem in the future type deal. So maybe pursuing ways to limit or lessen that fear is something that you could do. Air travel is still safer than car travel, statistically speaking. And the history of airlines, airplanes, the aviation industry is incredibly rich and worth a deep dive yourself if you're more interested. The other thing I would like to point out is that the media's job, in my opinion, is to sensationalize everything because they want the views, they want the clicks, they want people to share the stories, and so they're going to do what they need to do to make those things happen. So I'm not trying to be like a conspiracy theorist or anything, but I just think something to keep in mind is that at the end of the day, media companies, again, are running a business. And so think about what they need to do to keep their business running, and then maybe temper your reaction to what they are giving you, or at least come at the media with a healthy dose of skepticism when you are viewing different stories and topics and that thing. And then most importantly, when your friend is afraid of something, you should definitely post about it on the internet. So thank you so much for listening today. I hope that you learned something, maybe found something interesting. Maybe you are less afraid of flying. Maybe you're more afraid of flying. I don't know. I'll be back again next week for another episode with another deep dive into a random topic. I hope that you all have a wonderful rest of your day and a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Bye.